Forever hate Sammy Hagar.
Hey, you know what? I can't hate on Santos Tequila though, because Guy Fieri does it, and I like Guy Fieri.
I actually like Sammy Hagar. I mean, I prefer David Lee Roth, but I like Sammy Hagar.
So. Oh, Lou. Unleash the
like
Fury.
Sammy. I'm not going to stop him from liking Sammy. I just don't like Sammy.
Send him to the gulag.
Well, you know who else doesn't like Sammy Hagar?
Raviera.
Yeah.
I have an episode of my podcast. It's called My Top 15 Least Disliked Sammy Hagar Songs of Van Halen.
Oh, well, I like him in Montrose, and I...
That's the only thing I like him in.
Yeah, but why is Sammy Hagar's solo albums considered heavy metal? I mean, have you... I don't...
Well, he's got anyway. The song Heavy Metal that was on the soundtrack for Heavy Metal, but I never thought he was heavy metal.
That's because you're not insane, but why was he considered not heavy metal? Or why was he... Other than that song... I mean, forget it. Anyway,
that's when Bette Midler covers one of your songs, I'm sorry, you lose credibility for being heavy metal.
Wait a minute,
song
though.
Did she cover
Red?
Oh, I don't.
Yeah, but
she covered Red.
Frank Sinatra did "You and I," Alice Cooper tune. So
I mean, Celine Dion did a bunch of AC/DC songs.
Well, that's true. Would you rather have Bette Midler or Frank Sinatra cover your tune? So
Frankie.
The money's on the counter, sweetheart. I'm through with you.
I'll take Frankie's corpse over Bette Midler alive.
Oh, poor Bette Midler.
What did Bette Midler do to you? You're just going to decide to choose violence on her this morning. What the
I did
hell?
Not. Morning. It's 8:25.
It's morning somewhere. I'm trying to be nice here. Okay. Some people are going to be watching this in the morning, Lou.
It's morning in my mother country of Greece. Hello, everybody.
James is outside in the middle of Antarctica.
Well, yeah, that's called Knoxville, Tennessee right now. You guys, your Yankee weather came down here.
Oh, I thought you were chilling with Guar.
Yeah, well, I wish I was. It'd be much freaking better than this crap right now. Freezing rain, snow. This weather sucks.
Oh, what's the best? And you know what else is worst? The best? The best is our nice little promo. Sit back and watch it.
Looking for some new podcasts to listen to? Well, look no further than the Rat's Eye Review Network. Rat's Eye Review is taking over the podcast world with plenty of shows to choose from within their network of entertaining programming, including the flagship show Rat's Eye Review with Wayne Noon, Greg Nogle, and Lou Mavs, as well as occasional co-hosts Manny Mejias and James Lilquist. We also have the official Rat's Eye Review spin-offs, such as Album vs. Album, Screams from the Grave, where we discuss beloved yet forgotten hard rock and metal albums of the past, and a King Diamond podcast called This Broadcast Belongs to Them. We've also got Old Man Metal's Musings, The Right Opinion with Harrison Bergeron, Beyond Bushido, a podcast dedicated to pro wrestling and MMA with James Lilquist and Eric Adams. No relation to the guy from Manowar or the mayor of New York City. The Vieira Vault with Ralph Vieira. Schmack-a-ma-gob to you too, Ralph. The Timo Tolki podcast featuring Stradivarius and Avalon founding member Timo Tolki. The BS Sessions with Mark and Jerry. Just the Cheese Please, a podcast dedicated to cheesy films of the 1980s with Tara J and Adam. The Friday Night Party with the great Harry Barnett and Evie. And the Music is Life podcast with Lou Mavs. The Ratsaw Review Network is your go-to one-stop shop for the best podcasts out there today. Go to ratsawreview.com for more info and to find out where you can find, follow, subscribe, and comment on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, and all streaming platforms. The Ratsaw Review Network. We're taking over.
Two things. One, I'm so happy that I included James and Manny in on the promo. And two, when Denise points down at Lorelei Shellis, but the website is beneath Lorelei, you couldn't pick perfect timing to do that.
You couldn't. And I couldn't pick a better time than to do the new intro.
With your hosts, Wayne Noon, Greg Nogle, and Lou Mavs.
Stanley the Rat, ladies and gentlemen. Stanley the Rat.
poor Stanley doesn't do and random appearances by James Lilquist and Manny Mejias.
Oh, I like that. Yeah, I like that. That was my favorite part. And that we're not puppets. I like that too.
Yeah, I'm the scariest of them all.
That was very frightening.
welcome in by Rat Sci Review, everybody. Welcome.
Welcome to the show. Today we are joined by Manny, James.
Hello.
And Lou. And me.
Hit me.
I'd love to hit you.
Right across. I got a lot of problems with you people not knowing.
You're gonna hear about it.
You're gonna fucking hear about it tonight.
Especially because of today's fucking picks that you people picked. God,
you people chose the wrong.
What do you mean,
album.
You people?
You know, I'm meaning you people that chose Ginger instead of Spirit Box. God damn it! You know, I did this poll specifically to have a poison pill there, and lo and behold, the rats picked the poison pill. They ate the bad cheese. I gave them good cheese and bad cheese, and you guys went, "Oh no, no, not the good cheese. I want the bad cheese."
I'm one of the rats that picked the bad cheese. I'm sorry, Spirit Box.
I don't know what
you should apologize to them. You know, they are good Canadian people.
Courtney, I love you. I'm sorry.
May Don Cherry come from his golden throne in Canada and hit you with a hockey stick.
I think I might stop doing polls now.
What's wrong with Polish women? How dare you? That's a racist statement, sir.
I'm married. I'm not going to.
The late reaction.
I was going to say, like, where's the punchline?
I'm not going to do that. So anyway, let's do some music news while we're
sorry, I had to.
Is that the next intro you want to make?
I could.
Might as well.
I love creating content for Outside View. Where's my fucking money? No.
You didn't get the check I sent you?
1 cent? I'm sorry. What check? 1 drachma?
This was like one of the last news things that I found. This is actually kind of funny. King Diamond and Merciful Fate classics turned into sweet lullabies. I might actually.
Oh,
have to buy
so Lou, are you gonna be serenading your child to sleep with wonderful King Diamond lullabies?
Into the coven.
Well, this is a good idea. Anyway, go ahead.
A lot of bands have done this.
I know Nirvana and all these. Yeah.
Metallica, yeah.
Van Halen.
Yeah. No, wait. The Sammy Hagar Van Hagar or Van Halen?
Only the Sammy Hagar Van Halen, because that one hasn't dropped her balls yet. Anyway, go ahead.
Well, they have a lullaby version of Van Hagar. It's called Van Halen's 5150, OU812 for Unlawful Carnal Knowledge and Balance. Thank you.
Although they'll all put you straight to sleep. Good.
Exactly.
That's a good album. Twinkle Twinkle Little Rockstar.
I heard you.
The company which creates beautiful lullaby versions of your favorite artists has just released lullaby versions of King Diamond and Merciful Fate via Roma Music Group.
Yeah, I could picture playing that for my daughter. Sure.
Yeah, I mean, there's some really cool songs in here. Abigail, Welcome Home, Halloween, which is kind of weird. Sleepless Nights, Eye of the Witch. Yeah, there's a lot of really cool songs in here. So,
Manny, would you play this for your grandson?
Hell no. Well, actually, I would, but I would play the real deal. They're used
good
to that
man.
Music.
Yeah. Why do the censored version? Just give them the real stuff. I mean, they'll get used to it.
Yeah, but have you heard any of this stuff before? It actually sounds like, you know, like little twinkly, whatever. I don't know what the instruments are.
I don't have kids, Wayne.
I know you don't have kids, but just,
well,
you know,
get
interest.
Busy, James. You got time.
Yeah. No.
It's not like your wife's going.
You want there. Another one of me running around? You really want this true. On this world? I mean, that's a blight.
We barely want you running around, James.
Exactly. You don't want me doing it, let alone me having another one.
I'm surprised I have one.
I admit, before I became a daddy, I saw a promo that David Lee Roth did with his sister, and he had that creepy smile of his, the one where like his face looks like it's pulled back, like that. And
oh, and he froze.
So this is actually a really good thing to do, because every time I hear David Lee Roth now, I think of Dr. Roxo from Metalocalypse. So I am waiting for this more. This is more and more turning into Dr. Roxo as we speak.
I am
loving every minute of this. This is like nightmare that. Fuel. I love everything about that creepy smile that he had.
Oh God.
Well, anyway,
are you back?
Yeah, it says my internet connection is unstable.
Oh. And so are you.
And, yeah, exactly. That smile was too.
I'll have to send this to you. That was
wow, crazy. That my David Lee Roth impersonation froze the internet. That's amazing. But anyways, he was saying that he got involved in this project because chances are he's probably fathered most of the people out there in the world and not admitted to it. So that was his reason for doing it. I'm like, yeah, only Dave could get away with a creepy ass statement like that.
Well, that's true.
It's probably true though.
Actually, he's behind the scenes, actually, he's a decent guy. You heard about Michael Anthony's grandson about 5 or 6 years ago, right?
Yeah, so, poor kid passed away after he was born. Yeah.
Yeah, so Michael Anthony had this charity. I don't remember what it was for, but it was whatever his grandson died from. And every day he would check the donors list, and it said D.L. Roth, $10,000. And he contacted the phone number on there. It was David Lee Roth's manager. They never spoke. David Lee Roth said, yeah, it's me, and, you know, and we'll talk later. They've never spoken, though. They've never spoken. That was it. That was the only communication they've had in about 30 years.
So. You know what, though? Dave did say in one of his last interviews that if it wasn't for Michael Anthony, the sound of Van Halen wouldn't have worked. So well, he has publicly praised him.
Well, he's right, because Michael Anthony's vocal harmonies is what part of that sound.
Right.
You know, granted, the bass playing is your meat and potatoes in the pocket, which fits Van Halen. It would be ridiculous to have a Billy Sheen in that band, but mm-hmm. I thought he did a good job. And
he did what he was supposed to do. You know?
Exactly. And
I mean, you let Roth and Van Halen freaking shine. You know, you're supposed to be back there, you know, just providing the beat pretty much. That's unfortunately the poor drummer and bassist had.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
What a combo.
Yeah, but Alex Van Halen is a hell of a drummer, and
mm-hmm. I'm not saying he was bad, but I mean, would you say he would be out there to outshine Eddie and David?
I don't know if anyone could outshine those two guys. You know?
That's the point, yeah. Though. Yeah, that's
well, how we got from King Diamond to Van
Halen. Well, anyway, I am not going to purchase the King Diamond Lullaby CD. No.
Oh,
next.
Boo. Oh,
suck.
Boo this man.
I'll purchase King Diamond.
Denying your daughter the lullabies of King Diamond.
I've already played her Welcome Home off the Them album.
And what'd she say?
Watch this. Play Cocomelon.
Oh, you know, she's a kid. You got to indoctrinate, sir. You got to indoctrinate.
She liked Def Leppard when I played it for her, so yay.
There you go.
High and dry, see? Wayne. It was high and dry, I promise.
Oh, good, good.
Okay, good. Good man.
At least it's high and
dry. Not realizing that the song Let It Go is about a blowjob. Anyways, moving right along.
And now you know.
And knowing is half the battle.
I wish I had the thing come across, but I don't. I'm not doing that. Bruce Dickinson says Iron Maiden will perform entire 82-minute Senjutsu album on future tour. That'll be kind of interesting. I don't know if anybody saw the other album that they did, Matter of Life and Death. You did? Yeah, I saw it too.
I did not. I saw the tour after that. They didn't do that when I played.
Oh, so you saw the Somewhere Back in Time tour?
Yes, that's the one I saw. Lucky that was bastard. Right after, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was way after that.
And then they came again, but I didn't go that time. I can't remember when they came again after that.
What do you guys think about when bands want to play like a full album?
Please no.
No.
I don't know. I mixed feelings. Go ahead.
No, you first, Manny. Go ahead.
Well, it depends. If it's a classic album, I'm for it in a way. But something like that, I actually like that album, but I'm not sure if I want to hear a whole 80 minutes of that one album. I mean, you can get away with that in a club gig, maybe, but an arena tour, I'm not sure if that's a good idea.
That's the other thing, too. I think they're going to play the smaller places. They're not going to play these huge places on this tour.
Okay,
so
I'm okay with that, but I mean, like, you've got to make sure that you're saying that, hey, this is called, you know, the Blank Tour, we're going to be playing just these songs. Because I mean, like, you know, if you know me going to see Tool, if they did the whole, you know, whatever album you want to pick, they just wanted to do that album, I mean, I'd be kind of down with that. But whatever, is everybody else going to be down with that?
Yeah, but Tool's a different kind of band. Tool could probably get away with a set list like that without minimal complaints because of the kind of band they are. I'm not sure Iron Maiden I'm sure Bane can do that.
It is a different level. You're right.
Yeah.
What were you gonna say, Lou?
Well, I think it really depends on the album. Like when Rush went ahead and did the Time Machine tour, where the second act, the first songs were both sides of the Moving Pictures record. I mean, Moving Pictures, it's not my favorite Rush album, but it is their most popular. It's got most of the classic songs on that album. So it makes sense for them to do something like that. That's something that fans would probably spend top dollar for nosebleeds to go see. An album like Senjutsu, you know, I mean, what did I give it, Wayne? I think I gave it a 7 or an 8 out of 10.
Which is still pretty good rating.
Right. I mean, it's a good album, but I wouldn't want to pay money to see it at like a Madison Square Garden. If they played like a Paramount, like in Huntington, and you know, hey, Maiden's playing 20 minutes from me, yeah, I'll go check it out, but I'm not going to go all the way to the Garden to go see it. If they went ahead and said that they were going to do Somewhere in Time, that's a different story. I would love to see them perform Somewhere in Time, because the only thing they play off that in their tours ever is Wasted Years, and I want to hear the album.
Yeah.
So
well, Wayne, what do you think before I go with my other thoughts on it?
Well, like Lou kind of showed, you know, shooting himself in the head after we saw the Matter of Life and Death tour. I saw that too, and it was okay. But then after halfway through, it got a little bit boring, you know. But then for their encores, they did play some other, you know, their more well-known songs.
Yeah, 5 of them.
It really depends. I mean, this album is long, and there are a lot of slow things. And right. I think it's going to get boring at some point, like the other tour did.
But see, A Matter of Life and Death is an album that grew on me.
Exactly.
You know,
I liked that from like the beginning, man. I thought that album was awesome. When I saw it live, though, I didn't feel the same way.
The problem with that album is that a lot of the songs, aside from being long, they kind of follow the formula of low bass intro with like guitars going dun, 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 like that. Man. Then building its way up, then it hits you, and then you know, 3 minutes of guitar solos between Adrian Smith, Yannick Gers, and Dave Murray. And then back into the final chorus, which is, again, is repetitive as hell because the entire chorus is the name of the title of the song. And then quiet outro. Yeah. It's like, I'm tired of that formula.
Yeah.
Well, the thing with these classic hard rock metal bands, not just metal bands, Rolling Stones, a U2, is most of their audience doesn't want to hear new songs, which I think sucks. Mm. If those bands cater to someone like me, there'd be 4 people in the audience. So I get that, you know. Right. I want to hear deep cuts, but your average fan doesn't want to hear a deep cut. They want to hear, you know, Number of the Beast, Run to the Hills. You know, I don't want to hear all of one album, but I would love them, like you said, Somewhere in Time, pull something out of there, you know, obscure or deep cut. But most fans aren't interested. I've seen people like Elton John and Pete Townsend of The Who complain that, you know, they play a new song and everyone's going to run to the bathroom and get beer. That's not a reflection on the song. That's a reflection on the audience who just wants to relive whatever, you know, maybe their youth or I don't know what it is.
Well, also, we're living in an era where people are very selective on what they listen to, because you have options like Spotify or Apple Music or Amazon Prime Music. You could just listen to the same songs over and over again without getting the full, you know, experience of listening to the album. The only exception to the rule of an artist where I saw where he performed album cuts and didn't give two shits what the audience thought was Billy Joel. I mean, he was pulling out album cuts and people were like, this one, okay. And it's like, he didn't care. He just kept doing it. So
yeah, I saw Billy Joel and he did what is that song about the restaurant? Excellent song.
Scenes from an Italian Restaurant?
Yeah, excellent. I was shocked, you know, that he played that. But, you know, good point on that. I think the art of listening to an album is kind of lost because of things like Spotify. And the way people absorb music is different than the way I absorb music. I admit I'm a dinosaur. I'm one of the few that listen to albums beginning to end. That's just what I do. That's not going to change. I don't enjoy the radio because even if it's a band I love, like AC/DC, I don't need to hear Back in Black and Highway to Hell or whatever. No disrespect to Bon Scott's memory, But, you know, it's just the same. And it's just not AC/DC. Eagles, name a band, it's the same songs over and over and over and over.
Yeah.
And
that's why I said, like, I'm going to be happy if I don't hear Sober or 46 and 2 or any of those Tool songs when I go see them. I am super excited just to hear, you know, I'm okay with hearing A Thousand Eyes just to hear him try to summon aliens. I don't give a shit. All right. I'm there to experience it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I understand what you're saying. And I think it's kind of different because, like, everyone asks what my favorite Primus song is. And right. I always go Over the Electric Grapevine.
It's a great song.
It's a great song.
And how many people know it?
Nobody.
Yeah.
Even guys are like, oh, I'm a huge Primus fan. I'm like, oh, what about this song? They go, what? What album is that from?
What album is it from?
Well, Primus fans. Sorry, Wayne, go ahead.
It's from over. It's They All Can't Be Zingers.
Oh, okay.
Well, Primus fans seem like they're open to whatever Les and Lair and Herb want to do. Yeah. I mean, on their recent tour, they're performing the entire Rush album, Farewell to Kings, which is my second favorite Rush album of all time.
Great.
So, you know, like,
it sounds like a very Primus thing they would do, though.
Well, I mean, I heard them do Xanadu, and I got to admit, I was impressed. You know, so.
Well, Wayne,
the cool thing about Maiden doing that, people are actually going to buy the tickets and go to the Maiden show, and they'll probably sell out too. You know, how many bands can really do that? You know.
Yeah. I willingly purchased a ticket to the Matter of Life and Death tour, knowing what to expect. Wanted to give it a chance. Yeah. And, you know, I mean, I have to admit, the highlight of the show was when they played For the Greater Good of God.
Oh, yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah, it was cool. Which is why they brought that back for the Legacy of the Beast tour.
Now, like we just mentioned with Primus doing another band's album, what do you think about bands doing that? Because Dream Theater's done that too. They've done like Master of Puppets. And,
yes, they have. Like,
Yeah.
I think that depends on the band. I mean, we're bringing up Primus, who are actually, I mean, you know, contrary to popular belief, are actually very good musicians, in Dream Theater, who are expert classically trained musicians. I mean, I think it takes a level of talent to be able to pull that off.
It also takes an audience that's willing to do that. And Dream Theater's audience is willing to go there. You know, they're willing to maybe not do it every show, but they're willing to sit there and go, oh, they're going to do Master of Puppets, or they're going to do a melody of Deep Purple or whatever. Their audience is willing to sit through that.
Yeah, I would not actually pay audience, money for that.
Yeah. Not every audience is not every fan base is going to be willing to do that. That's for sure.
Even Cheap did that too with Sgt. Pepper's. I thought they did a pretty good job with that.
Yeah, they did a great job. They did a great job. But the Beatles are pretty easy sell, you know. Yeah.
But not Sgt. Pepper. I mean, that was one of the first albums that they did that they didn't tour behind, because a lot of that stuff was studio magic. So the fact that Cheap Trick pulled it off, I think, is not just a testament to the Beatles songwriting, but a testament to Cheap Trick as musicians.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I'll give you. Yeah. And Cheap Trick have definitely been influenced by the Beatles, obviously. And matter of fact, Rick Nielsen and Bunny Carlos played on those John Lennon Double Fantasy sessions. But Yoko Ono thought they were a brand new band trying to make a name for themselves. So those sessions didn't appear to the John Lennon anthology box set. So
Cheap Trick did a killer cover of Cold Turkey, though. I loved it.
Oh, I don't think I've heard that. I've got to check that out.
That was on the 1995 or 96 John Lennon tribute album, Working Class Hero.
Oh, I don't know. I've never heard that album, but I'll have to check it out.
Mm. Very cool. Some other news. Wasp. Anybody going to go see Wasp?
No.
Nope.
Nope. Why?
If you go, Wayne, I'll go.
I might go.
Do I really want to go to Cherokee Casino in North Carolina to go see this?
Why not? First of all, Armored Saint is opening up, so I would really want to
go. I'm more interested in Armored Saint.
Me too.
Yeah,
that's the one I really want to see. But
I am a Wasp fan, but I would
go only for one reason, and it's not to go see the bands; it's to go see the fans of those bands, just to enjoy that. Because I always make that joke. That's the most thing I remember about seeing Ozzy live at Ozfest, was how the crowd aged 20 years from Korn, Manson into Ozzy. It was amazing. Yeah.
But a bunch of guys at my job are excited to go see this show. And then Actually, Blackie did an interview with Eddie Trunk the other day, and he's really considering playing Fuck Like a Beast, and a lot of people are really excited for him to play it song because he hasn't played in like 20 or maybe 30 years or whatever it's been.
Because he's a born-again Christian now.
I know.
Well, apparently not anymore. I guess he now wants to fuck like a beast.
I think he realizes he needs the money. Now it's screw like a beast anyway.
Or hump like a pump. Pop.
Okay. Wait, if you go,
come on,
you're
going
you.
So good, Manny.
All right, I'll see. But it's one of those things where you gotta, you know, if you gotta have, you gotta be vaccinated, and if you're not vaccinated, you gotta get the test done. So it's a whole
ironic thing about that. I went to the Clutch show at the Paramount, and you needed proof of being jabbed to get in.
Yeah.
And we went in. And then the next day, Clutch announced the postponement of the rest of their tour because their crew had COVID.
Oh, wow.
Womp, womp, womp.
And I'm thinking to myself, oh, God, did I get it? Did I get it?
But that's the other thing now. A lot of bands are canceling their tours because of this again.
Yeah, postponing it to 2023 now.
Yep.
Don't put this evil on me, Ricky Bobby. Don't you put that evil on me.
We'll see what happens.
Pray to Big Baby Jesus. Oh, that's Old Dirty Bastard. I'm sorry.
It is Baby Jesus. I like
to tell you. I'll tell you, Wayne. If Wasp comes near my town and the price is good, is cheap enough, I would probably go out of curiosity. But
I was looking at tickets today for us, but tickets don't look too expensive.
I like the band, but I'm not that curious to see them for whatever reason. Even though I've got most of their albums,
I wish I could go to one of the Texas shows because it's Armored Saint with Michael Schenker Group. That would be cool to see them together. So
that would be cool, but who would be singing for Shanker? Is he going to have a real singer, one of those schlups he sometimes brings up there?
Well, I mean, I think Ronnie Romero, is that his name now?
The guy
Ronnie
who.
Monroe?
Who? Ronnie not Monroe? Not Ronnie Monroe.
No.
Who?
We don't talk Voldemort on this show anymore, sir. Right.
Well, you really think Michael Schenker would hire someone? No. I mean, he's actually Ronnie Monroe actually is on Michael Schenker's Immortal, actually, ironically enough. I'm not
way to go, Wayne.
Good
night, everybody.
You pissed off Schenker, Wayne.
I did. Sorry.
Which Schenker. Is not hard to do. Anyway,
no, it's not hard.
Congratulations. You did.
All you
got to
do is bring up Rudolph,
done.
And it's the interview's over. You know.
And Rudolph's like, I don't understand. Why does he hate me?
The only thing with this thing was Blackie said that he was one of the first people to contract COVID-19. It took him 3 months to shake it. I wonder how he thought he was only, you know, the first one to have it.
Have you
looked
really at
shocked him? That Blackie lost? He looks like he's the first person to get something.
But that was that story. If you go listen to the Eddie Trunk interview, it was interesting, but he was a little odd in it, and he's just odd to begin with. But there's some weird stuff in there.
He kind of speaks in like Paul Stanley style, notations, I guess would be the best way to say it. Like he really dodged the Chris Holmes question about like, what was the situation with Chris Holmes and his complaining about his royalties? And his response was, that is untrue.
Yeah. Well, I said he dealt with it or whatever. Actually, there was a news thing here, but I didn't keep it.
Yeah, but how many Chris, have you heard Chris Holmes' solo album?
I think Wayne covered it on an episode of Rat Saw Review Theater.
Oh, what a steaming pile of shit.
That one song wasn't too bad.
I tell you,
too bad.
His documentary, Mean Man, was pretty good.
Well, so is a documentary on Charles Manson. Anyway, go ahead.
Okay, you recommend one for me, please. I need another one to watch.
What about the Ted Bundy one? What is it, Chopped Liver?
Yeah.
Oh,
I see what you did there.
Oh, no, that would have been
is low taste, sir.
Right up my alley. Oh, but by the way, actually, I'm gonna class this up just a little bit. Also, news today, it is Dolly Parton's birthday. So, happy birthday to the Queen of Appalachia herself,
and God bless you and your Appalachian mountains.
And, exactly, they're very snowy.
Janis Joplin would have turned 79 today, but she'll be forever 27.
Yep. And this year's biggest PR stunt, Judas Priest.
Go ahead.
All right. We're doing this again.
First, they wanted to go as a four-piece. Now they have changed their minds all of a sudden because the fans made their voices heard. And now they're going to be a five-piece once again.
Was it the fans or was it the rehearsal?
Or was it the money?
All three.
All well, Judas Priest above. Don't need money at this point, maybe, you know, but
everybody needs money to survive, man.
I mean, Jesus. I mean, he can't, you know, I mean, we can't, so we can't have him touring with the Baby Metal again, which I enjoyed, by the way.
I like Baby Metal.
I like Baby Metal as well.
I hate to admit it. I enjoyed Baby Metal, and I would go see Baby Metal over Wasp. There you go. Anyway, go ahead.
Really?
Absolutely.
That's interesting.
At least Baby Metal won't have chapless pants or whatever.
Or cod pieces.
Oh, nothing more more frightening than a 60-year-old guy with his ass. Oh yeah.
But do you think this whole thing, Judas Priest thing, was really like a little PR stunt?
Or no,
really, seriously.
No, they would never do anything like that.
No, I don't think so.
Manny doesn't think so.
No, I don't think so. I think they really wanted to go out as a four piece. I think it was might have been money considerations because the tours aren't going to be as big as they once were. But I think not only the fans spoke, but I think trying to cover, we talked about it. How would one guy do all those guitar parts? You know, it's pretty intricate. It's not.
But I just wonder how like Andy Sneap feels now. You know, first they didn't want him there and he was going to record the next album, but now they want him back. And I guess he's still going to work on the album. I mean, that would kind of piss me off.
He can just walk in there and go, "Who loves you, baby?"
Yeah. He's like the Tony Martin of Black Sabbath. It's like he's only wanted when they need him.
Oh, yeah.
And if he feels like
and
that,
for the record, go watch Ralph Vieira's interview with Tony Martin. It is awesome. And I don't know if this is a good segue into an article that was published.
Yep.
But apparently, Tony Iommi and Tony Martin are in talks because a record label is finally interested in reissuing the IRS Records discography of Black Sabbath. So that's Headless Cross, Tear, Cross Purposes, and Forbidden. Well, 3 out of 4 is awesome, so I'll take those. But something just smashed. Anyways, so 3 out of 4 is awesome, so I'll take those. And yeah, take it away, somebody else. Go ahead.
Well, I think it's about time.
Yeah. Tony Martin says record deal has been secured for reissue of albums he has recorded with Black Sabbath. So it's going to happen.
Yeah. Well, there might have been some other issues there. Cozy Powell's passed away, and I guess he probably had to deal with his estate to do that too, I'm assuming. I don't know. Yeah. Iommi no longer solely owns a name. I think he had to give that up with Ozzy, or an agreement that he wouldn't use the name without Ozzy. I don't know what the details of that are, but
I think most of it has to do with the fact that IRS went bankrupt and was purchased by the Universal Music Group.
Okay.
So I think it was just a matter of getting the rights to the records, not the masters to the records, because I think Iommi owns them.
Okay.
But it was a matter of getting the rights to release the records from Universal, which is great on their end, on Iommi's end, because as many people know, a lot of the masters for records that were released on Universal Records and their subsidiaries were burned in a fire in Los Angeles.
Oh, that's tragic. That's crazy.
So the fact that Iommi has them, you know what, it's about freaking time.
But and apparently, too, Iommi met up with Tony Martin at some point and they were going to work on some music together, but they can't do it under the Sabbath name, obviously, because it's not, you know, it's not owned by Iommi anymore, I guess, right?
It's 50-50 Iommi and Ozzy.
Yeah.
You can't do anything with Tony Martin under Black Sabbath, but I'm sure they're going to do something else. So.
Oh, no, they could just use a different name and actually come out with the music and nobody's going to, nobody's going to understand that. Exactly.
People still called Heaven and Hell Black Sabbath.
Because it is Black Sabbath, that's why.
Right. I agree.
Because it is. Rules are rules.
Hey, look, when the President of the United States steps on any plane, it becomes, you know, Air Force One. Yeah. Iommi steps on stage with New Kids on the Block, it becomes Black Sabbath. Doesn't matter. It's Iommi's there, it's Black Sabbath.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm trying to picture this now that you said that. How would this work?
Just think of Hanging Tough with distorted guitars.
And they become suddenly men because they're next to the presence of a god.
Well, yeah. Agreed. I'll say this. The two albums that he did with Glenn Hughes under the Iommi banner, better than the 13 album. And I to agree. Me are more worthy of the name Black Sabbath than that album.
Well, let's be honest. Doesn't it sound like Black Sabbath? I mean, gone. I mean, it's Black Sabbath.
Hey, to me, Sabbath ain't Ozzy. It ain't Dio. It's Iommi. So.
Yep. Yeah, I agree.
And apparently Bill Ward is trying to get back with Black Sabbath again.
There is no Black Sabbath. What's he getting back to? I don't know.
But apparently they want to do something.
Well, you know what? He was a big part of the reason why I disliked 13 as much as I did. Mm. I mean, Wayne, you're a drummer. So you hear Bill Ward and you know that that is the signature Sabbath sound right there. Not taking anything away from Vinnie Appice or Kazi Powell or Eric Singer. But I mean, Ward is Sabbath. You put the four of them together, Ozzy, Geezer, Ward, Iommi, that's Sabbath. You take one of those elements out, granted with Dio, it worked.
Right.
But
it did.
You know, yeah. But with Ozzy on vocals, you need Ward for it to sound like quintessential Sabbath. I'm sorry, Brad Wilk, you did a shit job.
Think so? I didn't think he did that bad.
I think it was Rick Rubin's shitty production.
Yeah. And just the songs weren't there, you know. I mean, I really have to listen to the album again because I listened to it a few times. But
there were rehashed versions of old Sabbath songs. Right.
Well, that's because Rick Rubin asked him to pretend it's 1970.
Right, which he does with every band that wants to get together.
And if Iommi wasn't fighting cancer, believe me, it would be a very different album. Have you ever heard of Tony Iommi kowtowing to any producer, anybody? Ever? That was the only time. No.
Yeah, probably because he was under Sharon's payroll.
He was also fighting cancer. You keep in mind that while he was making that album, he was fighting for his life. So,
are you calling Sharon a cancer? No, I'm just kidding.
Well, yeah.
Wow, I didn't know the Sharon Osbourne cancer was going to come out. I didn't know that was going to be the target of your venom right now.
I don't have venom. I just like cracking jokes at assholes' expenses.
But I didn't dislike 13. I think it's a better album than probably you do, Lou. But I do see where you're coming from. The songs could have been stronger. The production could have been tightened up. You know, Brad Wilk is just going to do what he's asked to do. And he was probably drafted at the last minute, you know. But he's a good drummer. Is he a good fit for Black Sabbath? Maybe not. Not that version anyway. But,
well, Manny, if you like it, you like it. I'm not going to begrudge you for liking it. That's cool that you like it. I just didn't like it. I mean,
well, you're not the only one. There's a lot of diehard fans.
You're not in the minority there, Lou.
Yeah, Lou, you're far from the minority. As a matter of fact, people were very disappointed with that album.
Again, it's the same reason why I didn't like Ordinary Man, Ozzy's last album, was because, you know, Diary of a Madman is my second favorite album of all time. Black Sabbath is my favorite album of all time. I can't help but hold the name to a high standard. I can't help it.
Well, no, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. But I will agree, the production and I think the songs aren't that good. I think the deliberate trying to relive something. You know, you're not 21. You're not living in poverty. You're not that same person, you know, so I agree with you.
One other story here. This is kind of like a little wrestling related story because the bassist to this band is also in AEW, The Butcher.
Yes, he is.
No, he's a guitarist.
He's a guitarist. He's not a bassist. He's the lead guitarist.
Andy Williams is the guitarist of Every Time I Die. Right. But go ahead.
They had to fucking jump on me like that. All right. It made
he's
a guitar player. Oh, hold on a minute here.
Hey, towel boy, read the story.
You fucking jabroni. We're going to fucking break your back and make you humble there, Papa.
Fuck the Wayne Noon.
Fucking shit fucking reporting, you fucking jabroni.
And fuck the Hulk Hogan.
Well, either way, we have one less shitty band in the world. Every Time I Die is now gone.
Hey! God damn, they're not bad. Jesus.
They're not good either. They're not good.
Yeah. I love them.
You do not. You're lying, Lou.
I do love Every Time I Die.
Yes. Yeah, they're actually really good.
I want to die every time I listen to them.
I want to do heroin every time I hear.
I want to die sometimes to hear your fucking picks there, Wayne. You know, we're not so rockable.
No, I can't say too much. Actually, one of the, I guess it was most recent song when I was looking at one of the articles, That song that I did watch, it sounded pretty cool, but he wasn't screaming like his normal stuff, the vocalist. So that one sounded kind of normal and kind of cool. But I'm sure the real fans hate that song. So it doesn't matter.
I like almost everything they've ever done. I especially love their earlier stuff because that's when I got into them. But no, I like the new album. From Parts Unknown is my favorite album from them, though. But that, you know, that was 2014.
Geez, I wonder who came up with that album idea.
It might have been the bass player, not Andy Williams.
Why, who plays bass?
No fucking idea.
No idea. All I know,
some
all
fans
is
you are.
Yeah. What do you guys know? But I guess the vocalist, he wrote a big long thing. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but there is absolutely no hate in my heart when I say that whatever is going on with the guys from now on is between them and their God. Any emotional mental connection I had to them was thoroughly severed when I got the letter on December 20th that there was plans. Oh no, there that was where our path was finally divert. Oh my God, I can't even reach.
Yeah, sounds like a real mental. Sounds like a real mental thing. Yeah, God forbid the guitarist has another job that he's making shit tons of money on. God forbid.
I don't know. The thing is, I think the singer thought that they were trying to replace him behind
because they because they should be because they probably should. But hey,
why?
He was the primary lyricist, James.
Okay.
But apparently, that's not really what was happening. But the band broke up, so. But he said, I need to be crystal clear that after their Twitter statement on December 3rd, the letter I received December 20th was the only correspondence I received in reply to a request made for a conversation with them on December 7th. That's just weird. You can't just talk to your own bandmates.
What a fucking whiner. Jesus.
I can't stand it when bands air grievances like that. It's like, listen, if you're going to break up, just break up. Okay? I mean, what you need to remember is when you're in a band, you're in a partnership unless you own it and you put everyone on salary. But in this case, Every Time I Die was a partnership. If the partnership was to dissolve, don't air your grievances, just dissolve it. And, you know, as sad as I am that they're no longer around, I think less of them because of this level of bollocks they try to pass off as transparency.
Now would you believe that this is more of a case of LSD than normal?
I can't say because I don't know the fullest extent of what led up to this.
He was the only one who came out. Everyone else just came out with a group statement. The other guys came out with just a group statement.
Another reason Iommi rules, because when he fired you, he didn't say send out a newsletter. He said, get the hell out of here. You're fired.
That's how real.
So I didn't know Tony Iommi and Donald Trump had the same thing. They just went, "You're fired." And then,
well,
I'm sure Iommi's probably wasn't as nice because he's just not returning your calls. You just didn't know you didn't have a job one day, you know.
What is this pink slip thing?
You're fired. I think of Vince McMahon when I hear those words, not Donald Trump.
Well, yeah, you know, he was the one who tried to trademark that. Okay.
Nah.
Well, yes.
What do you want me to do here? All right.
No, you provide good context, sir. No, but anyways, rest in peace Every Time I Die, and stop this juvenile shit, please. I mean, really, we don't need five different freaking press releases on what happened. It happened. It is what it is. You know what I loved about Dillinger Escape Plan? When it was time for them to break up, they just said, fuck it, and left. That was it.
When did they break up?
Yeah, when did they break up?
I don't remember. It was a while ago.
I thought they just released something not too long ago.
Oh, they got back together again?
Well, they probably recovered from their injuries because they're always injuring themselves on stage.
Or shitting on the stage, from what I heard.
I don't remember them breaking up.
Well, they did, but I guess they're back together.
Were you a fan of Dillinger Escape Plan?
Yeah.
Do I like Dillinger Escape Plan? Yeah, I love them.
I like them too, but first time I heard them, and to me it sounded like a bunch of aluminum chairs being thrown down a stairwell and being
that's Dillinger.
Yeah, that sounds like themselves. I mean, well, at least look on the bright side. That gives the Butcher now has time just to focus solely on his wrestling career. So at least he has
I think it'll work out for him in the long run. I think he's doing okay.
He may or may not already be on TV, but hey,
Yeah, it's only been about 3 years. He'll get his spotlight. He'll get his spot.
Yeah. He'll definitely get a good run there, even though
he broke up in 2017, and they haven't gotten back together. So I was wrong.
Okay.
Oh, it's fine. I didn't know they even broke up. Wow.
And final news story: former Fozzy drummer Frank
Fontasari, I think it's pronounced
like that. He was really unhappy with the band on the last tour. So
he finally listened to his album. All right, go ahead.
I like Fozzy,
and I think it's okay.
Wait. Do you like Fozzy or do you just like Chris Jericho talk singing?
No, I like Fozzy. I have all the albums. I like them.
I've got one. Like Judas? It's not bad.
No. I see. I like it. I just don't. I don't think Jericho's a singer. He's just talking.
No, I don't. I don't think so.
I think it's a little bit more melodic talking. It's not really singing. It's his voice.
I think you just created a new genre: melodic talking.
How hard is it to do that?
Not very hard. Anyway,
all right, no Lou Reed imitations. Go ahead, guys.
I just think it's funny that Chris Jericho became a star after breaking his arm in freaking Morristown, Tennessee, doing a moonsault.
Is that a fact?
Oh, you didn't know that?
No. Oh, yes. Okay.
Yeah, he broke his arm doing a moonsault during a Smoky Mountain Wrestling show, because they were signed to Smoky Mountain Wrestling out of Canada, right. And then he got injured and then went to Mexico.
Yeah, he's still wrestling.
Oh, okay. I thought he became popular in Japan.
He went to Mexico, then Japan.
Got it. Okay.
And like, poor Lance Storm was there, and they Cornette wanted them to be the new Rock and Roll Express. He wanted them to be the Rock and Roll Express, after a while, but. He said Jericho didn't have his heart in it, and Lance Storm was married, so who was gonna fuck the rats?
Good point. But by the way, in case anyone out there doesn't know what a rat is, it's a wrestling groupie.
That's right.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
I don't know a thing about wrestling. But...
And it was
trust me, the rats are.
And that concludes your wrestling news for today. But the drummer,
back to the show.
He was starting to feel like he was bumping up against the ceiling because he really didn't have any creative input in the band, and that's basically it. So
the drummer never does.
He's the fucking drummer.
He's the fucking drummer of Chris Jericho's band.
I know.
Nobody knows who else is in that band except for Chris Jericho.
Yeah, exactly.
Rich Ward, the guitarist. That's it.
Oh, okay, all right. But do you really see Rich Ward in any of the videos, or is it just Chris Jericho? Yeah.
No, I haven't watched any of the videos.
The last one was actually really cool because they're on the Beast roller coaster in Ohio. But yeah, or they're on the Voyage in Indiana. So, excuse me.
So if you knew that the drummer didn't contribute, wouldn't you just not buy the album?
Yes, I'm buying this Fozzy record because of the drummer. Absolutely.
Oh, look at that. That looks like a good songwriter. I'm picking this up.
I definitely do not know this band from being on WWE television for 3 years prior. Yeah. And then being on AEW for the past three. Yeah, sure.
Too funny. All right. Well, that's it for the news for today. Now let's get to the album at hand here.
Blame you, Lou.
Ginger.
All right.
Full disclosure, I wish we had picked Spirit Box.
Me too.
It was your fault. I tried. I was giving it the valiant try as a half Canadian person myself.
Well, then I vote we do Spirit Box next week.
And say, this is your fault, James.
I tried, okay? I was trying just to say, like, all right, whatever. I was.
This is what happens when I give other people to on my show.
No. It wasn't my fault. It wasn't my fault that you made a poll, sir. All right. You made a poll on the internet. You knew the consequences of your actions. Don't blame me for your consequences. Okay.
Well, you put the two bands together.
I was throwing crap on the wall. It doesn't make me Picasso.
It's all right.
I like Rat Style Review better when it's in a dictatorship, not a democracy.
No, I like it when it's all messed up and everybody hates something and somebody likes something. That's why I miss Greg. I really want to know what he's going to say about this.
Yeah, he would have really hated
his this. Absence why he's not says on. It all. Yeah.
This is because he probably hates both bands.
I'm sure he does. I'm sure he does.
In my defense, I just threw this against the wall prior to listening to the album. If I would have listened to Wallflower beforehand, I probably would not have recommended it. Okay.
See, I wish we were doing the Wallflowers, the band.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, that was a good band.
Well, yeah. You know, when we could drive it home with one headlight.
We could.
That gets good a night, slow everybody. Clap. Nice.
We'll see you next week.
Oh, there was one more thing I forgot to say about the Rat's Eye Review promo.
What's that?
Doesn't Tara look hot in it? Oh my goodness, Tara, you are gorgeous.
I'm a married man. I can't say that.
So am I. So what?
I don't know. My wife would kill me. Who's Tara? My wife would say that, not me.
Just the cheese, please.
I know who she is, but I'm talking about my wife.
Speaking of pass the cheese, please, you're really going to make us pay all that money to watch that.
It's $2.99. Don't be a cheapo.
Will you pay us back?
You're going to pay us back?
What if you guys end up liking the movie?
Impossible.
It's not impossible.
It's called Motorama.
It's not impossible. It's improbable.
I was looking up some reviews, and some people really actually liked it.
What crack were they smoking?
I don't know.
And how ironic was the writing? Was it in blue font?
And is it self-aware?
These are probably the same people who watch porns with foot fetishes in it, so I don't trust it. Anyway,
these are the people who read Playboy for the articles.
These are the people who watch porn for the plot.
These are the people who bought the new Ginger album, Wallflowers.
Hey. Good God. Okay, so like I don't understand how that this band thinks, okay, everyone knew how big Pisces got and everything from their last album.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go, you know what people really wanted to hear? More of Tatiana of screaming instead of and less of Tatiana singing.
Yeah. That's uh-huh. What I don't understand. Go ahead, Luke, Manny.
I think it's bands like Arch Enemy and whatever, you know, even though they're not death metal. Because the whole sale of that Ginger band was her, that she would be able to sing melodically and then suddenly go into this roar. Because the first time I heard it, I couldn't believe that was her voice. But the novelty wears off pretty quickly.
Yeah. And I like some of her other songs, like Teacher Teacher and stuff like that. I like the band. This album was a miss. It was a George Costanza swing and a miss.
I'm upset there's not one ginger in the band.
They're from the Ukraine. Ukraine doesn't have any gingers.
And they spelled it wrong too.
Because they're from the Ukraine, Wayne.
We spell things different here in the Ukraine. It's the first album I've actually listened of the band, and it'll be the last one because there's not one good quality on this whole album, except for her voice. Her voice is good when she sings clean, and when she's doing.
Which I mean, she does more in other albums. So don't. So
maybe I'll listen to the other stuff.
Yeah, I actually like the previous album, whatever it's called, but this one. Now I've only listened to it once, so keep that in mind. I wasn't impressed. You know, I don't know if it's a songwriting or production, or maybe I just wasn't in the mood to hear it. Maybe I'll think it's brilliant in 6 months, but I didn't care at the moment. I just didn't hit me. I just felt there was too much, like you guys say, it was too much the screaming, not enough melodic singing. I don't think the songwriting was very memorable. And a lot of it's paint by numbers, kind of heavy metal, in my opinion.
Right. No, I would agree. I think it was a phone-in job. And I don't know if I have to blame them or blame, you know, Nuclear Blast or who. And that, you know, who in there, you know, does the finger need to be pointed at?
Because... At the end of the day, the artists, because they wrote the songs, you know, maybe they were dictated by the record label, but they still have to create that music and that content, you know. So.
I didn't hate the album, but I'm being nice when I say this. I liked it, but it's not comparable to their last two. I thought King of Everything was their best one. And what was the next one, James? Was it Micro or Macro? Which one was it? I think Macro was the EP.
Yeah, I think you're right. Here, hold on. I'll find it. I'll search Amazon Music.
Anyways, they had two full lengths and an EP of good material, and my hopes were high for this. There were a lot of redeemable qualities about the songs, but as a whole, a lot of the songs I felt were, well, hit or miss.
Micro is the EP and Macro is the LP.
Thank you for clarification.
I didn't hear the EP at all, but anyway, go ahead.
I think they just, you know, try to write an accessible album for modern metal fans because, well, it's the music industry. What's the end goal? Profit. So, you know, a bit of rehashing of what they've already done before. And it pains me to say that because, again, I love their last couple of albums. I saw them in concert and I thought they were freaking amazing.
Yeah, so, they have talent. And I think that's the biggest thing. If it was a band that didn't have the talent that we know they have, I think we'd be like, oh, you know, okay, this is not their best work, but, you know, they tried. This is like, no, I'm mad about this because I know what you can do. And you decided to not do it. It felt like it was very, what was the best way to put it? Phoned in. It was a phoned in performance.
I didn't think about it till Lou said it, but I think he's right. I think it was trying to fit in with more of what's going on in modern metal, or more accurately, modern rock, whatever that, you know, means. But I have to agree with him. I think there were, and again, there's no sin in trying to expand your audience, trying to, you know, make a living. There's no sin in that. But other bands have done it. But that's the thing. Anytime a band second guesses themselves, they always make something that is not very worthy of the name. Judas Priest, Turbo, if we want to go way back. That's just a bad example. But I have to agree. I think it was a more calculated album than the previous ones. Previous, they probably thought nobody was listening. Now they realize they have an audience.
Well, that was the thing that kind of blew them up, was that a live performance of the song Pisces, and people heard this song that started out really low. Then all of a sudden, as soon as the chorus kicked in, this little Ukrainian girl screamed like a demon. And I remember even Rob Vieira did his own reaction shot to it. And the moment that she started screaming, he was like, wait a minute, you know? And I mean, that's what won me over, was her vocal technique.
Same here.
Yeah.
So,
but also, like, the vocal technique is what caught me, what pulled me in was the songwriting and everything. And the song is of Pisces is really good.
I agree with you.
And like, so I know that. And then listening to Teacher and some of the other songs in that album, you know, they have talent and you know, she has chops for this. Then to produce this is like, what the fuck?
Well, Wayne, what do you think? This is your first time listening.
I said, I don't like it. Yeah. it's not the style of music I really like anyway, but
right.
we did Whitechapel and it reminds me a lot of that. Like, you guys didn't like the last Whitechapel album. And I actually liked a lot of the songs off of there. And it kind of reminds me of that because it's just in that screaming and yelling, you know, genre, and I'm not into that, you know, but I like her clean vocals and I think that she should really do less of the growling stuff, and I think it would get more fans doing that, to me, you know.
So be more like Spirit Box in that situation.
Yes.
Which, I mean, and if anybody hasn't listened to Spirit Box Eternal Blue, listen to that album. That album is awesome.
We will be.
I'm
tired. What is that guitar? What are they dropping the guitar down to? What is that called?
Oh, that detuning.
That is B standard. The guitar is B standard.
I'm tired of that.
So you're tired of baritone guitars and metal, essentially.
Yes, I'm sick of it.
So you would not give a band like Periphery or Animals as Leaders a chance?
Who?
Animals as Leaders.
Oh, for the love of God. Anyway.
I've heard of Animals as Leaders, but I don't know. I give any band a chance. If it's good and somebody can do it good, then fine. It'll be good, but I'm tired of hearing that sound. It's just, I'm done, you know?
See, I guess I'm not, because I remember listening to Korn Follow the Leader, and that was the first time I ever heard deep tuned guitars.
If I want to listen to Korn, I'll go listen to Korn. But don't send me a bad version of Korn. Korn's already bad, or as it is.
Fuck you, Wayne.
I didn't like Korn at first, and then I did like them with Follow the Leader, And I stuck with them a little for a while, a couple albums, and then I got bored of it.
I enjoyed Untouchables. So I mean, like I that was their last bit. That's the last one I really got into. Right. And then Head left, and then it got, and then Monkey tried to hold on to it, and it just wasn't the same.
Exactly. Well, and I just saw them with Alice in Chains, and I never leave shows. I'll stick through the whole show, watch every band, even if I don't like them. I left after two songs with Korn.
Really? I love their live show, and I went and saw it. So,
well, I like their live show too. But you know, the thing with Korn is, as soon as they made it big, you had 1,000 bands copy it,
right?
And it kind of made me not as big a fan of Korn, even though it's not their fault. You know,
no, I'm with you on that.
Yeah,
because even the band, like some of these, this music off this Ginger album remind me of Lacuna Coil. Like I said, it's the angry version of Lacuna Coil.
Right.
There's some things that remind me of that, but what was I even getting at? Oh, they even took Korn sound as well on that album, Karma Code. There's like
absolutely tons of
Korn sounds. I'm like, this doesn't sound like Lacuna Coil.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that. And,
it's just a sound that I kind of want to go away. You know, I'm sick of hearing it.
See, go ahead, Lou.
I actually kind of heard more comparisons to a band like Nothing Face with this album. Kind of like I heard elements of Nothing Face, Vision of Disorder, 18 Visions, circa 2002. You know, there were definitely some influences that stuck out to me. And again, I like the songs, but as a whole, I thought the album could have just been a lot better.
Yeah.
I mean, the one song that I dislike the most is what I have. I have it here. Wallflower sounds it's like Pisces Part Two. So I really wasn't crazy about
Pearls
that.
And Swine. I really didn't like.
That's actually my favorite song on the album.
Is it really Pearls and Swine? See, like I enjoyed Call Me a Symbol and Colossus. Those were the ones like I was okay with. And then like Disclosure hit and Copycat, and I was like,
Yeah, I mean, that's where I kind of felt that it fell off. The other songs I liked were Sleep of the Righteous, As I Boil Ice, and Mediator. But, you know, and I don't want to say it's a throwaway album. You know, I mean, I want Ginger to succeed. I am a Ginger fan. I just expected more. You know,
That's why I said it was a phoned in. I felt it was phoned in, not that it was bad. I just...
Yeah. It seemed like they took too much of their influences that kind of threw them in and out on an album. Like it sounded more like other bands that I could think of than it sounded like Ginger. You know what I mean?
I get what you're saying.
Yeah. It seems like a throwback to another era in some ways, you know, not that far back, but good point about Visions of Disorder. I didn't like Visions of Disorder, but I do get where you're coming from with the influences. Now that I'm kind of hearing it in my head, that's the other problem with the album, in my opinion. This is my opinion only. It wasn't very memorable once it was done to me. Nothing really stood out other than how much I didn't like it. And I guess maybe that's better than not remembering it at all, but I just didn't. Again, I hate to criticize any band I like.
That's one thing I always hate to do in a show, like when you give a band a bad review but
we're not critics, we're fans of music,
right?
You know? We're fans of this, and I know me and Lou, and I think Manny is a fan of this band. We want this band to be good. We like their music, and we like them to, you know, that we want them to succeed. We want them to make more good music, and I feel like maybe instead of doing those type of bands, maybe play a little bit more like do a little more in flames, go a little bit faster, maybe, you know, do a little bit more, you know, I don't know.
Or expand on what you've already succeeded on and grow your sound.
Yeah. Which would be nice, but you know, is that even nurtured anymore? I mean, record labels.
It's only nurtured if you don't have a record label to answer to.
Yeah. You're on independent, but who, you know, how far are you going to get with that? You know, how much of a living? Depends on.
I look at it this way. I'd rather fail on my own than try to succeed at what others' expectations of me are. You know, so like if I release an album, whether it sells a copy or not, that's irrelevant to me. I put out what I wanted to put out, and I have means of financial income. I'm not dependent on music to make a living. And, you know, that's the thing. Bands' first albums, they're kind of in that position too, where they're hungry, they're starving.
Yeah.
Once they reach a level of success, they try to hold on to it. And then it ends up becoming a, I'm not saying this about Ginger, but I'm saying this about other bands. It kind of becomes a caricature of what they first set out to do.
I kind of, I'm going to be interested to see what happens with Lorna Shore after this recent album. Cause it's kind of the same thing. They're getting a lot of the reactionary YouTube video play right now. And
I know nothing about this band, Lorna Shore, and I just hear people talking about them. What's the deal?
Oh, their lyricist, their singer is fucking nuts. He can do stuff with his voice that is, it's pretty amazing. What he can do with growls and with the different types of growls, using the different folds and ways of your larynx to make these sounds that he can produce is nuts.
Lorna Shore, Wayne.
From what?
What label are they on, James?
They're on Century Media now. That's the band? They started off. So like this is like their second lead singer or something like that. Oh. And they were on Destiny label. They went to Outer Loop, and now they're on Century Media. And then that's when this new album came out on, and it's more that faster type of metal, but he's making weird sounds with his voice that you just don't think are human.
Including pig squeals.
Including pig squeals.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Job, for a cowboy.
That might be cool, but it doesn't fall into the area of novelty. You know,
that's what I was saying. That's why I'm curious to see what they do now that they've actually gotten noticed by the world. What will they do next? And that's always what I'm afraid of with that. That's why I was kind of happy with Spirit Box with the second album, was because the first album did get a little bit of play. And then this one came out and it was really good as well. So I feel like they have more growth.
Well, technically, Eternal Blue is their first full length album. Whatever before that was an EP, right?
Yeah.
Where are they from anyway? Where are they from?
Vancouver, British Columbia, I believe.
Yeah, they're from Canada land.
Okay.
Yeah.
The singer and guitarist are married. And they were replacement members at one point for the band I Wrestled the Bear once, which, James, wrestling reference, I believe they're referring to Tracy Smothers, correct?
There are plenty of people who have wrestled the bear, but yes. we can make that reference all the way back to Roy Welch. So,
and I Wrestled the Bear once was one of those bands who kind of fit into that MySpace emo kid scene thing.
And, speaking of that, have you seen that the they're doing a record festival in Las Vegas for all those emo scream kids?
Yeah, and you know who's not going to be there? This guy right here. Anyways,
and sorry, this guy won't be there either.
Yeah, they're from Victoria, British Columbia.
Oh, okay, thank you.
But speaking of weird sounds and bands not on a record label, Project Resurrect.
You guys don't have weird sounds. You guys sound good. Stop it.
But Project Resurrect.bandcamp.com. Go buy my CD. That's it with the Ginger album.
I guess, I'm actually very excited about the music that you and I are doing together, Wayne. We actually I sent him one demo, and Wayne he liked it. He liked it.
Yeah, I liked it.
Whoa, okay, Mikey.
I liked it so much I had to edit it. No,
it was just one part.
Just one little part, but it made it better, right?
I agree.
Yeah. I think so too. And the nice little keyboards that Mark Muchnick from what the hell's the name of his band? The Nightmare Stage.
The Nightmare Stage.
Yeah.
Again, that's with the lead singer of Live After Death, the Iron Maiden tribute, right?
I'm not sure. I can't remember what his name is. Oliva.
Okay.
Is his name?
That's the one.
Okay, that's him then.
Yeah. With my friend Mike Fest on drums. Yep.
Okay. Yep. So that's who did the keyboards for that. Yeah, and it came out pretty cool. So
good job.
Be very cool to hear you re-recording the the guitars, and then
I'll re-record the drums. You do the guitars. Very good.
Whatever way you want to do it.
Any way you want it. That's the way you need it.
But it'll be cool. It'll be very fun to work on this now.
Anyways, Ginger, if you're watching this, I'm sorry. I love you guys, please, next time, come up with a better album.
We're not saying this to be like, you know, the angry curmudgeon yelling at clouds. We're doing this as fans wanting you to be better.
Well, maybe two fans. I'm not a fan.
Well, I'm a fan, but
yeah, Wayne, go, yeah, not, Wayne, go sit in the corner. Okay, go listen to more Halloween albums and go sit down there.
I will do that. See you later.
But probably me.
Get back
my
here,
age,
Wayne.
Okay.
At my age, Ginger's not aiming for me to be their audience anyway. I'm the old guy. Yeah, you know. Demographically, I'm like on the outside of what they're looking for.
I understand
good music
that,
is good music.
Yeah, but I understand that. Well, I mean, like, what I've heard from Slipknot. Yeah, what I've heard from Slipknot's new stuff. I mean, good music is still good music.
Oh, I agree with you. I agree with you. But
and I would never lump Slipknot into that category.
Wayne, go sit. Go once again. Go listen to Halloween. Go sit in the corner. All right.
God, good music and Slipknot in one sentence does not work at all.
The last thing Wayne listened to that he enjoyed was the Ashes of Aries album.
Yeah.
Well, what's funny is I am currently reading a whole magazine dedicated to Wayne's favorite band.
And I actually just recently purchased a box set from Wayne's favorite band.
Who?
Fudgy.
I know
who. God. Yeah.
I like the songs that Metallica covered. I never listened to anything else they did, but
it's only two songs.
Those are two really good songs.
Way to go. God bless.
The song. See, this is why we need Greg here. So
this is why we can't have nice things, Wayne. You gotta
keep
bad jokes with it, you know.
Well, I think you guys have music taste that sucks, and I'm the only smart one here. Yeah.
Why do I make him? I'm making like Greg sound like Macho Man Randy.
Yeah, I was about to say, when did Macho Man become a freaking, you know, music critic after his rap album? Okay?
Greg Nogle's the cream of the crop. Ooh, yeah.
Yeah. Cream. Oh, he rises to
God. And Rat Sal Review's cream will rise to the top next week when we're back with. I actually think next week is when the Cheese Please people come on, right?
Yes.
I will have to talk to them.
All right. I'll watch this fucking movie.
I'm telling you right now, you might enjoy this movie.
Enjoy this movie. I also might also have a heart attack. You know, these things might happen.
We can only hope.
And some people enjoy going to the proctologist. Doesn't mean I will. But anyway, go ahead.
Good night, everyone.
And then maybe the week after we'll cover Spirit Box's Eternal Blue.
Yes, maybe then. But yeah,
we're never getting around to that one. I've been trying to push this album for so damn long.
Well,
we will do it.
James, if we can't do it on Rotside Review, we'll do it on Music Is Life. We'll spare Wayne the headache.
I want to do it because it sounds. Podcast. I heard some of it and it sounds good.
Okay, so then we'll cover it on Rotside Review the week after we get James and Tara and Adam.
Right. I'll play drums. You play guitar. What else?
He is only yours, Ven.
And then we got some cool guests coming up. Hopefully, I'm still waiting for an email from the God Dad himself from Vision Video. So that'll be cool if he comes on. And Goldilocks will be on.
We definitely. Love Goldie.
Yes,
as long as she keeps.
And I will be interviewing somebody, Wayne. Who would that be?
Oh no, we're both going to be doing it, Lana Lane.
Oh, we are. Yes, the lovely Miss Lana Lane.
Yes. That'll be a lot of fun.
Whose husband is the touring keyboardist for Lost in Line, I believe. Eric Norlander?
Yeah, yep. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, and he produces all her albums and everything as well. And he has his own stuff too, his solo stuff too. So, yeah, it'll be very interesting to see her on the show because it's been, I think, 10 years since her last album. So,
yeah, it's been a while. Yeah. She's a great, great vocalist. So.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Very cool. So a lot of things happening for Rat Sound Review. Manny, anything going on with you?
Nope.
Nothing? No other podcasts?
No, nothing like that.
All right. What about you, James?
Oh, no. I'm still waiting for the mayor of New York to finally get ready to come back for Beyond Bushido.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. Lou?
So what's going to happen is that I'm going to start a new show soon about college football just because I want to.
Oh, are you going on to the Mark and Jerry BS Sessions show?
Oh yes, I need to contact them again because we were talking about that we're going to talk about the wonderful and the best football team in the world, the San Francisco 49ers, on there. Also, I might have said, hey, I might want to talk baseball with him because he's a dirty stinking Dodger fan, which you know, yeah. I have my opinions on.
They will talk about anything on there, and Lou.
I would hope so.
Yeah. What's going on with you?
Well, I guess whenever James and I could come up with something else crazy, we'll discuss that on Music is Life podcast. But I do know that you, Wayne, and I are supposed to get together with the Greek god Dimitri Papadon and discuss Ghostbusters 1, 2, and Afterlife, not the 2016 reboot.
I thought we were just doing a new one.
I thought we were doing all three.
Oh, Christ. I gotta watch.
We went through all five cinematic Jokers. We can't go through three Ghostbusters films.
All right, fine. I gotta rewatch
that. Oh, Jesus Christ.
What are we doing?
Are you gonna talk about the Greek resistance movement in New York?
What Greek resistance movement in New York?
The Hellenic Front.
I'm not part of it. I married Irish Catholic, for God's sakes. Come on.
How dare you marry Cristino?
They don't want me anyway.
I get you Billy Crystal host on your show. You want him?
No. Anyway, but other than that, I'm just you know, kind of dealing with some not dealing with, but I'm taking care of some personal issues. So Music is Live podcast is kind of slowed down at this point. I also need to redesign the website, but I'm hoping to come out with some new content very soon. So you know, just stay tuned. Until then, you can catch me every week on Ratsaw Review. So musicislivepodcast.com is currently under renovation. It will be up soon. But as always, I'm spreading the good word of ratsireview.com.
Yep.
How long is it going to be under maintenance longer than Cornette's Collectibles, Will?
I don't know. I haven't been on Cornette's Collectibles.
It's been down since he can't fill the orders.
He can't fill the orders. He gets too many. But now I think he got smart and he finally did the thing where he can do like all the, you know, print up the labels.
No. He bought somebody. He paid somebody to do that for them.
Yeah. But now, you know, at least he has it set up now. So
I do want to give a shout out to Melissa Scopolitis, by the way, who was on my Emmett Otter Part 1 episode. She just sent out on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook her new Music is Life podcast t-shirt. So I just wanted to publicly say thanks, Melissa, for supporting the podcast. I appreciate it.
The superior Emmett Otter episode.
And Melissa, you can also buy a Rat Salad Review t-shirt too. So go do that at ratsaladreview.com.
James, the one we did was good.
Hers was better.
Well, hers was more knowledgeable. Ours was just crazy fun. So, but both were crazy fun. They were both.
Wait. Yeah. Which one was more Muppets though?
Well, are we talking lifelike Muppets? Then it's you. If we're talking actual Muppets, then it's Melissa. No one else thought that was funny? Fuck you guys. Anyways.
Until next time.
Warm up over there, freaking Mr. In a Beanie. No.
Goodbye, everybody. See you next